The topic I would like to speak about today is abortion. Now, I know it's a topic that people don't want to hear about. There's extremes from one side to the other. But 35 years ago, the courts imposed upon the people of this country a law that truly was the greatest evil ever perpetrated upon the people in their own country. In this day and age, we have so many people who are complaining about where the money's coming from, nobody's buying our cars, nobody's buying our products anymore, the malls are empty. Did it ever dawn on anybody that we've been killing our own people so that there are millions and millions and millions and millions of people that don't exist to buy things? Roe versus Wade. Perpetrated one of the greatest injustices on human life ever known. The only other person who did that in history was Hitler. He legalized abortion right after he got into power. What does that tell you about where we're going? In our society, life is so essential that without it, our country will die. It cannot continue on. Zero population growth is death of a society, of an economy. And Pope Paul VI, when he wrote the encyclical Humanae Vitae, and he spoke throughout his papacy of the sacredness of life, I was around and I saw the ridicule, especially by the public media. They made him look like a fool. I saw posters all over the place. The pill is a no-no. Because the Holy Father said, you have to respect life. You have to love life. We need to reorganize exactly what we are going to do with our society and with our faith in our society. You and I cannot stand by and let our own people be slaughtered every day. In the name of what? In the name of who? It sure isn't in the name of God that a person has an abortion. It most certainly is not a spiritual, divine element. You know, abortion's been around for many, many years. In fact, it was written by one of the great poets in Rome just before the fall of Rome that, quote, the sewers of Rome run thick with the blood of aborted children. What does that tell you? We are following the same path of every great society that has been totally and completely corrupted. We look around us, and what do we find on television? Not very much good. And as the things that we see around us get worse, that they glorify things with games of violence and killing and slaughtering and stealing and theft. And then we wonder why in our society everything is happening like that. We're teaching our children an absolute disrespect for all human life. So now people are murdered for shoes. They're murdered for $10. Old people are beaten up in the streets in broad daylight. And why? We get back to that question. Why is this happening? Why is there such a disrespect for everyone to the point where in some cities we're afraid to walk out the door? In a society where there were porches on every house and people sat out there all hours of the night and talked and listened to music and there was a whole social thing. Now the doors are battened down and you have special storm doors with security ironwork on them. Windows are boarded or ironed up. Why? Have we brought this upon ourselves? Yes. And the way we brought it upon ourselves is because when you have a disrespect for life at its most vulnerable and innocent, you will disrespect all life. Nobody can tell me that, well, there are certain cases where it's okay. No. There's never, ever, ever been a justification for taking an innocent life. Never. We have a greater movement in the United States of America to save animals than we have to save children from their own mothers. Never would I have imagined in all my life that we would ever see a day where a child would need to be protected from his or her own mother. That's the problem with a law such as Roe versus Wade. When we have judges legislating laws that kill our people, that is an evil that far surpasses anything that could come from any dictator. I see signs all over, no war, war is unnecessary, stop the war, bring the troops home. God bless God. Let us thank our soldiers, let us thank our leaders, let us thank those who sacrifice for our freedoms, but let's wage another war. Let's wage a war on abortion. Let's wage war on the idea that it is perfectly fine for a mother to kill her child. That's what we have to wage war on. That's what, as Roman Catholic Christians, as any Christian, we have no right to stand by and remain silent when children are being slaughtered every day in our country. And what do we see? We see a few abandoned little people running around with signs, trying their best to bring the world to see the horror, the devastation that abortion is causing. And yet, I've been out there marching before abortion clinics, abortion mills, and I've heard the vulgarity screamed out from cars. I've seen the obscene gestures that they show us when they pass by and honk their horns. Why are they filled with such hate? You know, a wise man once said, the only way I think abortion would be valid is if it became retroactive. In other words, the second you want an abortion, you cease to exist. Because if life means that little to you, that you're able to take it away from someone else, that right away from them, for once they are conceived in that womb, they have an inalienable right to live. And no one, no government, no judge, no Supreme Court has ever been given the right to kill the innocent. Ever. And when they took that power, they made themselves an anti-God. They made themselves an anti-moral agency. And we cannot allow a law such as this to exist in a free society. We cannot allow any forms of abortion because even the slightest, see what it's done? We have gone from one evil to another to another. Mother Teresa, when speaking to the United Nations, pointed out years ago the evils of abortion and that if we did not love and respect life from its moment of its conception, we will respect no life at all. How many times over the past number of years, in these 35 years, have we seen people who say, well, their quality of life isn't good, let's stop feeding them. Do you know that the church states very emphatically that you cannot withhold food or water or oxygen from any human being, no matter how sick they are, so that you can bring about their death, because that is killing them. We cannot kill people because they become an inconvenience, because that's exactly what abortion is. It's to take a human life because you're inconvenienced, and that is grave sin. In fact, that is excommunicative sin. And you know why? Because it destroys any vestige of life, divine life within the person, because they have corrupted their mind and their thoughts to such an extent that they no longer can see any good. And then that will transmit itself to every single thing throughout their lives. One of the greatest crimes that's perpetuated not only on the little children, but on the mothers themselves, because they are mothers. When Mary, when she conceived of Jesus, she went in haste to the hill country of Judea, When she arrived there, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Not the mother of a fetus, not the future mother of the Messiah, not the woman who's great and hoped for and someday will come from her, the Messiah. No, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? When are we going to wake up and really see what we have done? Is it too late? I do not believe it's too late. I never will lose hope. I will never lose hope that there is a basic decency in all of our people, in the church itself, to stand up and make our voices heard and understood and make the truth known. You and I have every obligation to raise up every consciousness to understanding the truth that Christ has revealed to us through Scripture, the sacredness of life, the beauty and the wonder of giving birth. You know, men run around building all this stuff. You know, when I was a kid, I looked from a plane and I saw all these fields, all decorated, all designed. I saw skyscrapers being built. I see chefs, so many great chefs. So many of these people are men. Why? Because they're trying to achieve even a slight modicum of what a woman can do. A woman can bring life. A man can't. Even scientists are trying to create life constantly and they can't. They have no idea, but they want to. There is no greater thing on the face of this earth that you can do than bring forth life. There is no person on earth greater than a woman. In this day and age, women who truly understand the sacredness of life, who give themselves to the incarnation of their love, they are the heroes in our society. When I see a mother or a woman who is with child, I will always stop and bless them. They may not even know it. If I'm riding on a bus, my hand is constantly making the sign of the cross. Whenever I see someone with the courage and the fortitude and the faith and the love to truly understand and accept and embrace the beauty of motherhood, the completion and the perfection of womanhood, I admire her. And I believe that every woman, every mother, deserves that pedestal her husband puts her on. For without her, none of us would be here. I bless my mother every day. I bless a woman who suffered tremendously, who could have easily chosen to end my existence. She didn't have it good. She didn't have it great like so many people think they have to before they can allow that life to come forth. Oh, I want the child to have more than what I had. Well, if it wasn't love, then forget it. Because the only thing worth giving a child isn't the games and the things and a great education and a great university. It's loving them. If you can love your child, that's the most important thing. And that's what Roe versus Wade, that's what abortion has attacked, love itself. And now look at what we've got. Everybody's calling every kind of thing love. Marriage, the very essence of marriage, is being attacked. Well, why can't anybody get married? I've seen on the news dogs and cats getting married. How stupid. How downright dumb. Marriage is a commitment between two people. Marriage is for the protection of children. It is for the procreation of life. The very same incarnative love that took place in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago is what takes place in every marriage, in every conception. It is not only the love between two people, but even more so, the love between God as Father for His creation. Even if you don't have love when that child is conceived, it will never mean that child isn't loved. And that child doesn't have a right to know that love. We must give these children an opportunity to know love, to know life, to know Christ, to know the sacraments, to know goodness, to know the gifts that God has given every one of us. And the most important of all gifts is love. We have to make a stand. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't wait for the right to life people to go out and do something. Teach your children. Talk about life and love and the truth of the moment of conception, that that is a soul, a child, a human life. We have to make our voices heard, because if we don't, we fail to incarnate the very love that we have received. You and I were reborn in baptism. We have an obligation to see to it that that love, that life that we have received, is offered to every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth. And why? Because we know what it means. Because we've got the truth. We have the fullness of truth in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is listen to him. All we have to do is have a little bit of courage. Just a little bit. People have been having babies for how many years? They had guts and courage and fortitude in far worse circumstances than we could suffer. And they loved. They loved their children. That's the most important thing. And that's why we really have to make a stand, and we have to put an end once and for all to Roe versus Wade. We have to overturn that decision. And that doesn't mean going against the freedom of the right to choose. It means going against the freedom of the right unjustly given to a mother to kill her child. That's exactly what it is. And call it what it is. Don't call it all these cutesy terms, because they don't hold water. You call it what it is. And if you don't have the guts to hear it and know what it really is, then don't do it. That's the way Christ teaches us. He wants us all or nothing. He wants us to love him completely, totally, and unconditionally in the exact same way that he loves us. And that's exactly what you and I have to do every day of our lives. And we can never, ever, ever, ever withhold even slightly from that obligation. So there's never going to be a time when you and I should just remain quiet. We have to speak out. We have to say something. We have to let the whole world know how many of us know the truth. Because our biggest sin is that we don't speak. The biggest sin of Catholics is the fact that they don't speak up. They don't make their voices heard anymore. And I don't know why. Do we want to get to heaven? Do we want to populate heaven with all of the souls, as many as we can, to bring them with us to God? Or don't we? That's the question that we ask ourselves. Because there is no such thing as an indifferent Catholic. Because then you cease to be Catholic. You either stand for something that you believe in and you know to be the truth, or you don't. You can't pick and choose. We are not cafeteria Catholics. There is no such thing. That's a perversion, because they can't call themselves Catholics. If you pick and choose what you want to believe, you cease to be Catholic. Then you may as well make your own religion. Because that's exactly what happened in all of the others. Well, we don't like this, we don't like that, we like this, we like that. It's all this put together one that fits me. We aren't to fit a religion into me. I'm to fit into that religion. Why? Because it's God manifesting himself and showing us who and what we should become. And God knows we're not there yet. So we have to do everything we can to do it. Now, I know that sounds pretty heavy, but I have to tell you, abortion is not something light. It's not something we can keep passing off as, you know, in the quiet. Well, you know, we don't want to talk about it. Oh, they get upset when we mention it. Maybe they're getting upset because there's guilt. And we also have to keep one other thing in mind when we're talking about abortion. The abuse of these poor women, these poor mothers, who have these abortions, how they are misled by their doctors and by their gynecologists and by every single person who tells them, oh, you should have an abortion. It's a lie. It's a lie that it solves your problems. It never has nor ever will solve a problem of a pregnancy. The only thing that can solve a pregnancy is to fall in love with that life. For that life deserves it. No matter what happened, no matter how that came about, it was our most loving and affectionate Father that created that soul and infused it into that life at the moment of conception. So let us make a stand. Let's not pretend that we are helpless anymore. Let's become true Catholics. And let us stand up for the truth. Let us let the world know what is really right and wrong. Let us let the world know that there is an objective right, an objective truth that we have to conform to. Let us get rid of that idea that there is situation ethics. Well, what's good for you might be bad for me. What's bad for me might be... No. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And we have to start living that. And I'll tell you this, if we do, the day that we do, the church will be more powerful than any government, than any country on the face of this earth, because it will be doing its job. And it will have God behind it, not man. Don't give in to human philosophies of kindness. Go straight for the divine. You can never go wrong.